You're very welcome back to Morning Ireland. Next Monday, it will be 3 years to the day since Russia began its full-scale invasion of Ukraine. This week, there have been talks, hastily organised, with European leaders meeting at a summit in Paris after the US President Donald Trump spoke directly with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. The message from Europe, there can be no peace deal without Ukraine and there needs to be a backstop guaranteed by the US. This morning, the talks are between Russian and US officials. They've begun. Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and US Secretary of State Marco Rubio sitting down opposite one another in Saudi Arabia for what the US describes as exploratory talks, while Russia said it could pave the way for face-to-face talks between the two presidents. But where does all this leave Ukraine? Well, we're joined now to discuss this by Timofey Milovanov, and he's Ukraine's former economy minister and current president of the Kyiv School of Economics. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Timofey. Your reaction first to the Paris summit. Is a European guarantee of security something that will reassure Ukraine?
Well, my reaction, it's weak. You know, the politicians came out from that summit acknowledging the gravity, the difficulty of the situation, and basically saying we have to do something, but without any specifics. I think that's very important, with the US basically withdrawing umbrella, or at least using the rhetoric to threaten to withdraw security umbrella from Europe, that Europe moves fast. Now, as for Ukraine, I think, of course, for us, it is critical to get security guarantees, and we hope Europe will be a part of it. But I agree with most of the politicians that without the US, the security guarantees are not going to be meaningful.
What about peacekeepers between Ukraine and Russia? The British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said he was willing to put British peacekeepers along some sort of a peace line.
Yes, I think that's important. And that's essentially the only real meaningful signal that Europe, NATO can give to Russia, that they mean that this peace should be durable. If there are no troops on the ground, you know, that's basically nothing for Russia, and they will interpret it as a ticket to be able to engage and invade anytime they wish.
Let's talk about the other talks now that have started in Saudi Arabia this morning. What are your concerns about that? We've got Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, meeting US Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
By the way, Lavrov, as he's perceived here in Ukraine and among analysts and politicians I sometimes speak to, he actually doesn't have the credibility. He is a face of Russia, but he doesn't have the authority to fundamentally decide on anything. So it's definitely just exploratory talks from the Russian perspective. Now, the optics for the West are pretty bad because there's no Europe at the table, there's no Ukraine. It does feel like the US and Russia are trying to carve up the sphere of influence of the world, and that definitely is not going to be stable. Security is not going to improve if Europe and Ukraine don't come to the table.
If it's a case that these talks are the pre-talks, as it were, to Vladimir Putin sitting down with Donald Trump, how would Ukraine feel about that? How would Vladimir Zelensky feel about that?
Well, we would feel, of course, bad about this, insulted and treated as a colony, now both by Russia and the US, denying our sovereignty, actually. But in the reality, of course, of the world is that it depends on the outcomes of those talks, and it depends on whether whatever the outcome of the agreements can be acceptable and enforceable.
I suppose there can be lots of different talks, and there have been, and it is a bit confusing, and it's a bit of a whirlwind, it seems to be, for the last week. Earlier on the programme, we heard that what Vladimir Putin wants is Russia to be a superpower, and that he feels that as long as Ukraine exists, that Russia is not a superpower, so that whatever happens, whether there is a peace, that it will not stop Vladimir Putin still wanting Ukraine. Is that something that is felt in your country?
Yes, and it comes not just from the recent events, but from the entire history of 30 years of independence after the Soviet Union collapsed, and actually from the 300-400 years of history of interaction between Ukraine and Russia in different forms, under the Soviets, under the Tsarist. So that's nothing new for us. There is a deep-rooted fear and desire for independence away from Russia. However, you know, Russia is wannabe an empire. has recently become to be a strategic colony of China de facto through this war. And it's unclear to me at all how gaining more territory will improve the imperialistic ambitions or standing of Russia.
Is there still an appetite for war in Ukraine?
No, frankly, I think military is holding its ground. It's exhausted. But we do want peace. We just want this peace to be peace, not pretense, for sort of occupation and the future invasions.
Finally, what if peace comes at an economic cost? I was discussing earlier about the report that President Trump wants a lot of payback, that the payback he's looking at in terms of access to mineral resources, to ports, to infrastructure, and a benefit from the potential rebuilding of your country could amount to about $500 billion. Is that something President Zelensky could agree with if it meant peace?
Well, so I looked at this proposal, at the contract which has been circulated, and I've spoken with some officials who might have seen it, okay, but I don't really know the authenticity of it. It looks draconian, colonial. It looks insulting. Ukraine has to waive its sovereignty rights on it, which is not going to be acceptable to Ukraine. But if you start putting math to it, you get a calculator and check what the conditions are. It's actually a couple of billion of dollars a year, in fact. Not most, unless there are sizable, meaningful investments coming from the U.S. So in that sense, from the economic perspective, that might be acceptable. What it is lacking is a mechanism to ratify it and execute security guarantees and some kind of reasonable, non-U.S. imperialistic framing,
Okay, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Timofey Milovanov, Ukraine's former economy minister and the current president of the Kyiv School of Economics. It's just coming up to 22 minutes past 8 on Morning Ireland.